97.5 The Fanatic.
We move into the 8 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dee Lynam and Tyler Zuli keeping you company on this Sunday evening. It's rainy out. Kind of matches the mood after the 37-31 loss, the Eagles to the Dolphins. Though it was beautiful down there in Miami, weather-wise, not from a football standpoint. All right, so when I went to break, I said, because our last caller was kind of trying to say, why can't Carson just march us down the field just once and take it for us? And I know what he's saying. And there's something, because you'll look at Carson's numbers. I mean, what does he end up being? 28 of 46, 310 yards, three touchdowns, and the interception is the one at the end of the game.
Doesn't even count.
It really shouldn't count. And so you look at that and you say that what more could he do? What more he could do is in that fourth quarter orchestrate a drive that we saw Ryan Fitzpatrick do five consecutive possessions. And I can't imagine, Tyler, that you're going to tell me that who Fitzpatrick was throwing to is better than what his weapons were today.
Devontae Parker is certainly okay. Better, but outside of that, you're correct.
Outside of that.
And of course.
His numbers I never even brought up today. I know he had 159
really
receiving yards. Yes, seven receptions, 159. You're right. I shouldn't say but you know what I'm saying.
Your point stands for five out of six of the guys they have on,
right.
On the field.
Right. I mean, and today we saw, and I'm sure he felt horrible about it, Ertz, two drops?
Twice.
And that wouldn't normally happen. But you had Arcega-Whiteside actually get a touchdown. So that's not normally happening.
Right. Yeah, these things balance out.
Right. So I just feel like I'd have to put him in a second tier. There's certain quarterbacks that I think, I mean, we've seen Brady do it plenty of times, so he obviously is one. Aaron Rodgers immediately comes to mind.
Russell Wilson.
Immediately comes to mind. I can't put him in that same category.
I think you're right. And the issue, it's not a talent issue whatsoever.
No.
The talent is there. The stuff that you can't teach.
Yeah, it's an intangible.
Is the problem.
Yeah.
And that you're right. The intangible is concerned. Are we going to look back on this and say that he was like a more talented Joe Flacco? Is he Matt Ryan?
Wow.
And people that know me know how much I despise Matt Ryan. Am I going to look back and go, yeah, Carson, it was good. It was great at times. MVP-like numbers. Always had his team in position to win, but never won.
Yeah.
That's concerning.
The people who say he's going to win a couple of Super Bowls, I'm saying when?
I need one. I definitely need one.
Well, I'm just saying, and he's young. I get
right.
It. There's a lot of nice young quarterbacks out there. And I think their teams are further ahead or look further ahead than what we're watching these last couple weeks.
Well, I'm curious because you bring that point up and that's a good point.
Mahomes is going to get one at some point.
He's going to get a massive contract. Yeah. And if Lamar Jackson continues to play the way he will, he'll get the same thing.
Yeah.
So these teams are going to become cap strong just like the Eagles are.
Right.
I'm interested to see how they draft as opposed to how the Eagles have drafted. It really... Whoever wants to blame Wentz, I don't think it's fully on his shoulders. If, like, Bill coming up in a little bit, he wants to talk about Howie. If you want to blame Howie Roseman, I am squarely behind that.
You're on board with that. All right, well, let's see. Mike's been patient. Let's check in with Mike in King of Prussia. Mike, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Doing all right. How are you today?
Good. First, I'd like to address all of the fans who lamented losing Andy Reid years ago when we knew he was supposed to go. Congratulations, you have him back. This guy is a carbon copy of Andy Reid. Doesn't know when to run the ball. I'm waiting for clock management issues. Doug Peterson is a clone of Andy Reid at this point. But that's not my main point. My main point here is that Howie Roseman has left this team cupboard bare. No talent. We have no backups. We have too loyal to players who can't play anymore. I mean, Jason Peters can't be out there anymore. I mean, we got players, and I guarantee you they're probably going to offer Jason Peters a contract to come back next year because they love him so much.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't put it past this team. Howie Roseman is not a good GM. He's If you look at it, he had one outlier year where he was good, and that was 2017. Every other year before that, he is totally stunk up the draft like crazy. And Arcega Whiteside is a bust. I know he caught a touchdown today, but that guy, I don't want to hear terms like playing above the rim with my wide receivers. I want to hear about blazing speed. The fact that we don't draft anybody with speed or defensive backs with speed, our defensive backs are slow, our wide receivers are slow, our team's old and overpaid and lazy at this point. And this is all Howie Roseman's fault.
All right, Mike. Well, I'm glad you got all that off your chest. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. I will say this. All right, let's just, that he doesn't draft speed guys, right? I guess, would you say Mac Hollins was supposed to be a speed guy, but he's just not a good receiver.
No, he's not. And he, I mean, when you have a guy that comes out and tells you he wants to play special teams over a wide receiver, like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. All right, so we'll agree there. Would you call Jalen Mills slow? I wouldn't call him slow.
I wouldn't say slow. He's not burner corner
speed.
You know, he's not Jalen Ramsey.
But I would agree that the others, like we brought up Douglas, obviously Sidney Jones is inactive. We already said that. I would agree that speed is definitely not.
It's lacking, for sure.
It's lacking. And we've talked about their affection for a Jason Peters, a Darren Sproles. You know, Sproles isn't even playing now. I think that was a wasted roster spot for me, you know, from the beginning of the season.
Well, and that's the thing.
It was an unnecessary, and he wasn't going to be able to give you what you need.
Well, right, exactly. You needed a guy that could run the ball. Yep. And if you're going to use a pass catcher, keep another receiver. Or keep Boston Scott to begin with, and you can go and get another running back. So now you're not sitting with, you know, no knees at Jai.
Yeah. It's a good one. I like that. All right. 610-632-0975. We go to Jay in North Philly. Jay, thanks for calling The Fanatic.
Hey, D. What's going on,
what's
guys?
Going on?
Listen, I'm going to jump right into this. Listen, the last caller saying that Howie left the cover bed and all of that. In the way he was telling the truth, but in the way, no. And how we trust. We was with Howie when he threw his ski mask on and his hoodie on, and he was robbing teams out of good players. So, yeah, this year he didn't make the moves that we per se wanted him to make. I don't put this all on Howie. Somebody in his coaching staff needs to be fired. I'm going to stick to that one. Hey, come Monday morning, they need to have a press conference saying we fired somebody, because ain't no way in the world that we should have dropped the ball the way we dropped the ball tonight. And then you're going to leave it up to say, oh, we still got a chance to win these last four games out. Now, you know what? I'm even going to jump deep into the deep end. I think Doug might need to be fired. Yes, I do. I feel that way. Some impactful thing got to happen to this coaching staff, because it feel like the players is not respecting the coaching staff. I don't know what's going on in the locker room or what's going on in that whole thing, but this thing look all off.
Well,
I jumped in a deep end, and I'm sorry for going off like
that. No, Jay, yeah, a lot of validity to what you said. And I will say this, if you are not having players respond to you, and honestly, I'm just like you, I'm on the outside, so I don't know if they have tuned him out. I do know that I heard Malcolm Jenkins speak in the locker room tonight, and he did talk about, as leaders, and I think there are leaders on both sides of the ball, that he said, we have got to do something as leaders. He could have been including the coaching staff as well.
Yes. Tonight was just like, wow. Like, we really was playing such sloppy football tonight. Penalties after penalties. And just, why we abandon a run? That's what I originally called in when you said, why do we abandon a run? I was like, dude, yet again, we got Miles Sanders, who is very, very fast. I don't care what nobody say. That young man is talented.
I think most people would agree with you.
And I don't understand why we don't put the game in his hands. Listen, young, we got you. Use him. Let him run. That's what he's young for. He's young. Let him run. Use some legs.
Jay, I hear you, and I also hear your frustration, and I appreciate the phone call here. You know, you feel for people, because it seems so obvious to him. Like, what is there a number that Doug capped? Miles Sanders at? And that's why he only ran three times in the, after the 14-point lead?
That's a great question. And, you know, you talk about you feeling for people. There's something about being working in your hometown where you can relate to the callers, because you and I probably are sitting and watching the game thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Because, and it's not object, it's not subjective, it's not feel. That's objectivity, what he just said there. You cannot run the ball three times with a lead and expect to hold the lead.
Right. I mean, it's just, it doesn't add up for any of us who are math people. It does not.
I'm not a math person. I can do it.
It doesn't add up. It so doesn't add up. All right, let's check in with Bill, because he does want to talk about Howie, and we started the conversation, so we'll continue it. Thanks for calling the Fanatic, Bill.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I just want to touch first. Mike is wrong. We don't have a Doug, an Andy Reid clone in Doug, because Andy Reid could draft talent. So at least somebody in that draft room would have had an eye for the talented guys with speed that this team sorely lacks. How much of a leash do we have on Howie? Like, how many, what has to happen? What's the, you know, what's the tipping point? Where
well,
we
I mean, in fairness, if you're going to give this coaching staff the leash, because they won 2 years ago Super Bowl, he provided them with a roster that won the Super Bowl. So, I mean, what...
Well, I'm going to give Doug the leash, because Mike Groh, Mike Groh did nothing to deserve his position, and his dad fired him because he's just talentless. There's no reason to have Mike Groh on this team. There was no reason to not give Deuce Staley that offensive coordinator job, and now we're looking at it. We're seeing it right here. Groh has no imagination. He has no creative play calling to give Carson any help. Doug should step in and do something. If it's not Mike Groh,
I agree, because I said this yesterday. If I'm the head coach and that's what's happening with my offense, now today, of course, the offense does have 31 points. But yesterday I'm saying I'm not letting myself look this bad. If Mike Groh can't do it, I got to do it with him. I mean, I got
to
take
it. You touched on it too, though. You said about how Carson's got to be able to sustain drives the same way Ryan Fitzpatrick did five or six in a row. You know, you can't let that happen, and that's got to be more on Groh too. That can't always be on Carson. And honestly, Carson struggled the past 3 weeks. He is really the true fault of this team when it comes down to it. 30-some points against the crappy Miami team. Yeah, that's great. How many did they score?
Right, 37, but that's not Carson. That's the defense.
Well, I mean, the defense is tired because Carson can't keep the defense off the field. So it kind of is Carson.
All right. I appreciate the phone call, Bill. Oh, my. Exactly. I'll go back to the Doug Peterson. We have no idea what he thinks of the job that Mike Groh does. I mean, I know he wouldn't throw anybody under the bus. But if you have to take a greater role because you don't think the guy you chose to be your offensive coordinator is getting it done, wouldn't you take a greater role?
You would think so. Any boss that's in a position that there is failure at any particular point is going to go to the person that the failure stems from, and that's Mike Groh, and that's the offense, and it's not all, again, it's a group effort. This is a group failure right now.
Right.
But you have to figure out what is not working and remedy that within the next 5 weeks.
I mean, someone in that coaching staff has, even if it's Deuce, like, can he throw a tantrum and say, why have we not run the ball more than three times after we're up 14 points?
I think you're right. And the one thing that always irked me was that when they talk about how, oh, it's Deuce's job to figure out the running back rotation. So either Doug doesn't trust Deuce in putting the right back out there at the right time, or Deuce is just doing the wrong thing at the wrong time that puts the wrong back on the field, which is making Carson Wentz check out of a lot of runs. Because we've seen him check out of quite a few runs over the last couple weeks.
Yeah. And I know that since the Chicago game, they have not had Jordan Howard. So basically, most of it has lied in the hands of Miles Sanders.
Correct.
And, you know, you gave Jay Ajayi two carries this week. Last week, they had 18 total run plays called as a group. I mean, this is, the same narrative week after week after week.
And you mentioned those two big wins earlier tonight when Howard had 38 combined rushes.
Yep.
And they won both those games pretty handedly.
Right. Yep. I mean, I don't know how you don't see that as a winning formula. 610-632-0975. Let's check in with Derek in North Philly. Derek, thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Yes. Respect y'all knowledge of the game, and I love listening to y'all. Real quick, I cannot believe everybody's blaming Wentz. You know the difference of those guys that y'all called out the quarterbacks? Their receivers try to get back to the ball. Whiteside came back and moved with his quarterback when he was scrambling. And if you look at that play, Alshon Jeffries was just standing around looking while Whiteside was still moving. That's why he caught that ball. And those other quarterbacks, those receivers are not good, but they run around with their quarterback and try to get open. How can y'all blame Wentz? You know who hands need to go? Schwartz. And y'all talking about the Super Bowl. That's gone. And it wasn't for Graham making that play against this Schwartz defense. Brady was killing us. So I'm not trying to hear Wentz, foes, Super Bowl. All right, let's talk about this D. It's garbage.
Well, wait, the defense today was horrible to watch. The defense the previous 4 weeks was very good.
Okay.
Would we agree with that?
Yes, very good. And if everybody say that, if they on point with the defensive plan and the offensive plan, we still can beat these teams in this league. So if everybody say, oh, we can't make it here, we can. And y'all see it. We set down Brady and Seattle.
Russell.
But for y'all to sit here and say Wentz needs to do more, he drove us down the field. Y'all not getting no guidance for fumbling. Y'all not getting no guidance for not catching. Ertz, that's my ball. But he dropped the pass on the 5 yard line and in the end zone. So I'm not trying to hit Wentz. What else can he do? He want to throw it to himself? Really, y'all? Really?
All right.
Come on.
I appreciate the phone call, Derek. I love it when people just take in the moment. So it's fine that you want to put that Ertz dropped two balls today, and we already said that he did. I think Carson would say he's like my Mr. Reliable.
He's the only guy he trusts.
Come on. So that would be that, and it's no problem that you want to tell me what Carson did today, but don't ignore what he didn't do last week. And to say that he marched them down the field, that's just not true.
This week, Carson Wentz was good.
He was good.
3 and 4 weeks ago, Carson Wentz was okay to good. Last week, Carson Wentz was horrible.
Right.
So you can't win with this guy because the Foles people or the hate Carson Wentz people come out when you say that, oh, well, Carson Wentz lost them the game against Seattle. Probably.
And let's just say at the top of this show, we agreed that you could not put this on any one person today because there was a lot that went wrong. After you were up 28-14, and mostly it happened on the defensive side of the ball. That is true. But explain to me how the last 4 weeks, your defense is holding you up and your offense couldn't get anything going. And now you finally have an offensive, you know, showing 28-14 before you then, you know, they scored 23 consecutive points. How can you not both sides of the ball be on the same page on the same day?
This team's giving up less than 23 points per game. There are three current teams that sit in playoff spots that have given up more. The Houston Texans have given up more. The Kansas City Chiefs have given up more. And the Seattle Seahawks have given up more. And the Oakland Raiders, until today, had a playoff spot. So to look at these teams and to look at the Eagles and say, well, it's just Carson Wentz or it's just the defense, these things cannot be true individually.
No.
They are all
together. Yeah, and I don't think there's some conversation that Wentz gets more blame than others, and I think that comes with it's the nature of the position. By the way, to go back to he is not Andy Reid, I was curious, if I said to you, how often does KC run the ball? Because they're a good team.
Not often.
Not often.
And that's the thing. The only thing that I will
do. The Eagles actually run the ball more than Kansas City.
I'm going to look that up. I'm going to look up rushing attempts per game.
I'm going to tell you what it is.
You're probably right.
I went for the totals on the year. The Eagles have rushed 314 times for 1,333 yards. I'm assuming this was updated after today. I probably should have looked. And the Chiefs have only run the ball 240 total times on the year, and it's like 1,000 yards.
I would almost guarantee you they've run more offensive plays.
Oh, gosh.
And, and that's not me knowing the numbers.
Wow.
I would almost guarantee.
That's even crazier. Yeah. So the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, I guess is what I'm saying, maybe. I'm not sure.
I think you're right. I think he's different. I think he's better at clock management, but
oh,
you're
yes.
right in most senses.
Yeah, right. 610-632-0975. Hold tight, everybody. I want to give you your full time. I know there's a lot to discuss. You probably have a lot on your brain, and we'll give you that time on the other side. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I was just letting the music play for a little bit, kind of mellow us out a little bit after
that.
Yeah,
we need something.
Yeah, right? The numbers haven't changed. 37-31, Miami Dolphins victorious over the Philadelphia Eagles, who fall to 5-7 on the season.
Not good.
Their final four. No, it's not good. The final four games will be against all division teams and will go in this order. The Giants at home, then at the Redskins, then home with the Cowboys, then at the Giants to finish it off. If they were to run that table, they win the division and they earn their way to the postseason. Which,
yeah,
you know what, though? But if in four games from now they have actually done that, then I think I would be okay that saying, okay, you know, you figured out a way to do
the
it.
The confidence would be back.
It would have to be.
Because if you run a table like that.
How are you going to win four consecutive division games? You're not going to do it playing like you'll play today. And don't tell me it's just because, you know, the Giants are 2-10, the Redskins are 3-9, and Dallas is a wild card half the time.
Right. And here's the thing is, I know that you play within kind of a median of some kind. If you play the way you did again today, like you just said, you may not win a game. If you play the way you did against Buffalo, you could probably win all four. If you play somewhere close to the average, you're going to be a 7-9 team. So you've left yourself with no room for error whatsoever.
And here's my two. If you continue to get penalties in double-digit figures, which today was 10 for equal 91 yards, if you continue that trend, and if you continue to be stubborn, like Doug Peterson appears to be doing, and not run the ball more than 19 times and pass for 48, you are not going to run that table. That is just my opinion. Let's check in with Carl in South Jersey. Carl, thanks for calling the Fanatic. How are you?
Hey, thanks for checking in.
Sure.
Can we look at each game individually, knowing that the past couple weeks Wentz hasn't been? I mean, certainly last week he wasn't good enough. So I mean, you can say that and say it with a bit of conviction.
Sure.
And the defense has played very well for the past couple weeks, and no one's going to say they were great, but they certainly played well enough to win. If the offense,
definitely the last. Who prior to today they held them to 17 right. points. So
right. But I've heard some comments made today, both locally and nationally, that Wentz is still missing throws, and he didn't hit every throw, but I'll tell you that not every quarterback does. They as a team put up 31 points
mm-hmm.
and on the field goal miss, and Elliott's not gonna be perfect forever. And it was it was under 50, he needs to make it. But As much of a safety blanket as Zach Ertz is, and I know that he was questionable coming into the game, the one pass he dropped in the five, and he'll tell you that he has to make that catch. And then in the end zone, I mean, people know who it was that caused him to drop that ball, right? Like, the guy we couldn't wait to run out of town, like Eric Rowe.
Oh, Eric Rowe, yeah.
He was horrific.
Yeah.
He was terrible. And Eric Rowe is now making plays. Like, you're telling me that Eric Rowe wants it more than you do? Like, you're making a lot of money. Yeah, you're the safety blanket. Yeah, you're always the first option for Carson Wentz. You have to come down with one of those balls, if not both. And I'm not saying he's the sole reason they lost, because he's not. collectively, I will tell you that the defense, in my opinion, for whatever reason, allowed Fitzpatrick, not just on some of the short plays where they were backed off, but I mean, he's just throwing balls up in the air and he knows his guys are going to go get it. Like he backfooted some. He threw without and turned around knowing that Parker is got 5 inches on any quarterback or cornerback that the Eagles are going to put on him.
That is true. And he left the ball up there for it to be a jump ball that he knew he was going to be able to grab.
I mean, like enough time for a safety who could have been playing on the other side of the field to get over there. And clearly that's not going to happen. But that's what it felt like in terms of how long that ball was staying in the air.
Yep.
And they didn't play well enough. Right now they don't deserve to go in the playoffs, but I'm not looking at this in a vacuum saying overall if Carson Wentz played this week, this particular week, I think the coaches should all have to walk home. Not one of them should have been allowed to get on the plane because everything that happens offensively is on Doug Peterson. Yeah, he's got an offensive coordinator. Yeah, he's got a, everything flows through the head coach because he's an offensive guy.
Yeah.
And then defensively, Jim Schwartz may have had his worst game as the Eagles defensive coordinator. And I really think a lot needs to be laid at his feet, both tonight, tomorrow when it comes to the press conference, and figuring out a way to sustain pressure, yet still support his secondary if quarterbacks are going to start looking around saying, you know what, we're just going to put it up for grabs because their cornerbacks aren't able to make a play.
Carl, I appreciate the phone call. Tyler, along some of the things, I mean, he had a lot of good points, clearly, but in terms of Schwartz, would you put this up there as one of his defense's worst performances?
I would think so. I think it has to be. And the one thing that he brought up with the, Fitzpatrick throwing balls up and burning guys, the one stat that I don't do the next gen a lot, but the one that I do look at is the stat called air yards on completions. And it's effectively how long, it's effectively how far the ball is thrown.
Yes.
The Eagles' air yards on completions this year as a defense is over 1,500 yards. There's a formula to beat the Eagles. It's get the ball out of your quarterback's hands and get it deep.
And
you're going to win.
Yeah. Now, the only thing about that stat, what would it have been since Darby and Mills got healthy?
That's compared
to the number. And how many games are we saying that's been?
Sure.
4 or 5?
So I guess Mills, 5 games started, but not since he's been. I guess it would be.
I think it is.
4, and Darby's played 7 this season. So
if you want to just do the last 5, I'd be curious of at least that.
Yeah, I'll take a look. So with Jalen Mills by himself, he's given up, it's 221 yards. That's 3rd on the team in 5 games.
Whoa.
Rasul Douglas has 320. He leads the team, but he's played 11 games.
He's played 11. Whoa, that's a huge difference.
It's a huge difference. I mean, you figure 220 times 2 just to get him to a rounded number is well over 440.
Right. Wow.
They're attacking Jalen Mills, and they're attacking Jalen Mills deep.
Yeah. And you know what? If I'm the Giants coming in, we're hosting that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at that, but this is what kills me. That teams clearly see a deficiency there and attack it. The Miami Dolphins ranked 31st in the league against the run, and you chose not to attack that in the second half.
And I know that we have divvied blame through coaches. That right there is on the head coach.
That's on the head coach.
Because he's got the call on that.
That's on the head coach. Absolutely. 610-632-0975. Corey is with us in Northeast Philadelphia. Corey, thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to take a different angle at this, if you don't mind.
Sure.
But I think that the age and how slow the team is a big deal, especially when you had Peters in the end. And then you should have had Dillard in there, and he should have been there from the beginning. Because I think the problem is...
You're saying from the beginning of the season?
Yes, I believe that he should have been.
Okay.
I know he's a rookie, but that's what I believe. Because I think... I'm not going to put anything on Wentz or even the receiving or even the secondary. The problem is the offense and defensive line. They're not healthy, they're slow, and they don't do their job. They're so inconsistent. So how can you run... How can you have running plays if you constantly bring in players in and out?
All right, wait a minute. The offensive line was healthy today, correct? Yeah, it was fully
today,
intact.
Today, yes. In right. fact, for the most part. But still, it's, how do I say it? It's more like a seasonal thing. It's
well,
when, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, they played very well together because they, even through the injury, they had one injury and then they were bringing somebody else because they had a good backup. They don't have a backup, but I still think that the offensive line is slower. I mean, the offensive line is slower, and so is the defensive line. If you shore up your offense and your defensive line, I think the coaches will be able to be more confident with their plays, and Carson will feel protected. And I think that if you get a rush on the quarterback, your secondary will be more efficient. That's what I think. I mean, I could be wrong, and you can nitpick everything, but I think everything runs through the offense and defensive line.
Well, I would agree with you on this, Corey. I appreciate the phone call that, you know, people say it's one in the trenches. I understand that. But I would say he said you don't have a backup. Dillard's been a backup and a very solid one when he was called and asked to do that. I didn't like putting him on the right side last week. But, you know, I think by and large going into this year, most people would say a strength of this team was definitely the offensive line. Your defensive line took a hit early when Malik Jackson went down. Jernigan had a terrible penalty today, didn't he?
Really bad penalty.
Horrible
Very
penalty.
Very egregious.
Ugh, right. Okay, so I would agree. But he's supposed to be a guy you can count on.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be a depth guy.
Yeah.
That when you brought him back for that cheap deal, which I still make that move every time, everybody slides up one when Malik Jackson goes down in the first week. That's tough, back from.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll agree with you, Corey, that there's some injury problems there and people have been shuffled in. I'll agree a little bit. But in terms of Malik Jackson, you haven't had him for the last 13 or 12 weeks, right? It's 13 weeks we're in, 12 games you're in. But, you know, so you have to adjust. And that's why you have depth. And that's one of the things we raved about this team prior to the start of this season was a lot of people felt like it had good depth. Maybe with the exception of you had the two tight ends and you didn't have a backup there. Fortunately, except for that game in Atlanta, that's why they activated Josh Perkins today just in case, because they need their two tight ends. And if one goes down, they have to have a backup there. But by and large, depth was supposed to be one of the great things about this.
It was supposed to be. And if you look at the snap count so far, Jason Kelce obviously has played every snap so far. And Isaac Seumalo has played 99.7. But you've got guys like Big V playing 24%. Matt Pryor playing 7%. Andre Dillard's played 41%. It's a shuffled lineup. You know, you get consistency when you have those guys that play every single week. They had that outside of Jason Peters in 2017. And Big V played 73% of the snaps that season.
And he played well.
You're not getting that Big V ever again.
You heard it first from Tyler. 610-632-0975. Sit tight, Darren. You're up next on the other side. Hugh, Isaac, Daryl, John, we're going to talk about it. 37-31. Not in favor of the home team today. Miami Dolphins pick up their third win of the season, and the Eagles fall to 5-7. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Sunday night. You know, it's the first day of December, Tyler. It's not the way you start a new month.
So weird.
I know. It's December 1st. It was Thanksgiving weekend, and it's already December 1st. All right, so by now you know that 37-31 was the final. It was a crazy second half, in my opinion, for the Philadelphia Eagles down there in Miami. A lot of fans traveled to South Florida for this game, and it was interesting how at times you could hear them, and then at times it started to get so quiet.
Which means there's no Dolphins fans.
Right, exactly. Well, that was obvious, or for the most part. Every now and then after Fitzpatrick had heated up, and at one point I know he had completed 9 consecutive passes, and you could maybe hear a cheer here and there. But, Fitzpatrick ends up having a really, really good day, and Carson Wentz had a good day. But on either side of the ball, critical plays were not made. And that's why they're called critical plays, because it's the timing of when it has to happen. And it just didn't happen on either side of the ball.
2 big drops, a missed field goal, and 3 penalties. That's 6 plays right there that if you get those back, that's probably a 10-point swing.
Easily.
You win the game.
Yeah. And when you talk about the missed field goal, Elliott's been unbelievable. And
you can't blame the guy for missing, but you can blame him for missing in that spot.
Yes. And his was from 49 yards. And then, like, the bonus points for Miami is a 51-yarder.
Right down the middle.
And looked like it had extra yards on it.
If Elliott missed the first 48-yarder earlier in the game, I don't think anybody bats an eye.
Nope.
That was just too crucial of one to miss.
Yep. That, and then the drops where you're specifically talking about Ertz. And he's your guy.
Yeah.
And he's your guy. 610-632-0975. Darren, as promised, you're next up here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I've been an Eagles fan for my whole life. I'm 22 right now. And as much as I love this team, it's really getting ridiculous, honestly. I don't understand why we can't play a full game of football.
Exactly.
We either play the first half or the second half. And it just doesn't make sense. Why are we not a complete team?
Not only that, you break it up first half or second half, and I'll break it up offense, defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Week
to week, you can bring one side of it brings it, the next week they don't have it.
And I can tell you one thing more. I don't know if y'all understand it. It might just be me. Maybe I'm just looking too much into it. Why can our tight ends and our wide receivers never catch the ball in the same game? Is it you have the wide receivers catching the ball or the tight ends catching the ball?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Meaning in terms of who you're choosing as your target.
That too, but all of Carson's balls, in my opinion, they touch the receiver's hands. You have to bring in those balls. And the wide receiver stepped up today, and of course Zach is always he's always gonna be our guy to be following, but you have to catch those balls. That's why we lean on you. And I feel like I don't know if we thought that we were just this good of a team, but obviously we're not, because we're not beating the team that we should. And I just don't understand what our problem is, honestly.
Well, not beating the teams that you should tell you two things. That you're probably not as good as you think,
mm-hmm.
meaning if you're the Eagles. And talk of saying, you know, you were trying to get back to a Super Bowl. You're just not that team anymore. I know it was only 2 years ago, but you're just so far away from being that team again, in my opinion, right now. So that would be one. And the other would be, I think, teams that, like a Miami, they're coming for blood because they say, well, these guys think they're good, but you know what? We don't think they're as good as they think they are. And
yes,
when you have,
yes,
and
hungry.
when you put the combination together, you can end up with a 37-31 loss.
Yeah, and it's tragic, and I don't want to just be the negative guy, because I saw some good things. Carson had a very nice game. He just didn't. Some of the balls were overthrown, like he's done the whole season. It's just you just can't lose these type of games. Well, if anybody, just playing how we are, we had to play the whole game.
You have to play the whole game. You can't take a rest when you're up 10-0. You can't take a rest when you're up 21-14, and then add on to that the first drive of the second half, and now you should be in the driver's seat. You absolutely should have been in the driver's seat at that point.
And I have one last point. I love Jalen Mills. I might be one of the only people to say that, but he needs help. And it's every game, honestly. You said the stat that he has, what, the third most yards on the team, and he's only played, what, five games. He needs help, and we need someone to, if not broadcast that, it just needs to be put in his ear, or somebody there, Schwartz here, whoever. Just that.
Well, it's definitely Schwartz. Yeah.
Yeah.
Darren, I appreciate the phone call. Have a good rest of your night. With the Jalen Mills one, you got to give him help in terms of bringing somebody over.
Yeah, there's got to be a safety over the top or a linebacker shades, or you've got to play press coverage and have him be able to jam at the line.
And will that be asked of Schwartz, you think? Like, how do you leave Jalen out there?
On an island?
On an island.
I think it probably will, and I don't know if he's the kind of guy that'll tell you, well, that was the game plan.
Hmm.
But there's one thing that you said during that call that was 100% true, that they, when you talked about how the Dolphins took advantage of a team that I don't think really cared about them, but the Dolphins played like a team that had nothing to lose. They went for an onside kick.
Yes.
They ran a trick play
with their
punter.
Right? Yeah.
They were chucking up balls downfield because they had nothing to lose. They're a two-win team. Desperation almost leads to success sometimes.
Yeah.
And they had it tonight.
What was the first one?
The onside kick. They didn't get it, but it was one of those where if I were playing Madden, I probably would have called for the onside kick there. So if I can think that, you got to imagine an NFL coach can think that.
That's true. This is so true. All right, let's check in with Hugh in Ambler. Hugh, thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Dean and Tyler, great show.
Thanks, Hugh. I wish we were talking about a W.
I know, but this is the problem I have with, and like you just said earlier, you guys said a lot of fans were down in
Miami.
You know, Miami, and you know the Philadelphia fans are the best fans in the world.
Yes, they are.
And the problem is, you know, the team. I mean, listen, they won the Super Bowl. That was great and everything, but this is not the same team. And what gets me, this is a mental issue. Okay, this is how I see this thing. And because the last two games that I saw, they could have beat the Patriots and the Seahawks because the defense kept them in the game. But the offense didn't show up, okay? So now we go to Miami, a game that we were told all week, the next three games, they're going to win by all the experts in Philadelphia, okay? We're going to get all the next three games. They go to Miami, the offense shows up, and the defense are now the bad guys. Yeah. This is a mental issue.
It's definitely, it's a head scratcher for sure.
It's a head thing. So when you look at the head, when you have any type of mental issue with the mind, it goes to the management of the team. That's how I look at this.
Yeah, well, and I think one of the things we said earlier in the show is they did come across as an undisciplined looking group, both sides of the ball.
Right.
The 10 penalties would certainly back you up if you want to make that statement. And I think that's been the case in a number of games, too many penalties. And I know Doug Peterson says, you know, we got to clean that up. Cleaning it up?
Exactly.
I just don't know when it's going to get cleaned up and how.
How are you going about
cleaning that up?
Exactly. And the other thing, people, fans are looking for a leader right now because they want to have someone that can maybe shape them up, but there's no leader on that team because there's a mental issue. And the other thing is this. I mean, they might beat the Giants, but did you see Washington won a great game today, man?
Yeah, I didn't see it. I only saw the score, and that's what I heard.
I mean, they think that the rest of the this is the easy part of their schedule. Are you kidding me? These teams want to demolish Philadelphia, man.
Yeah, we call it spoilers. Hugh, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. There's people thought the Dolphins were tanking. And they're like, this is how you tank?
it was a good game plan by them, indeed, before you kick me out of the studio and take over for the rest of the show by yourself. 78 penalties in 13 weeks for 667 yards.
Whoa.
Shooting yourself in the foot, that's it.
And being undisciplined.
Right.
Whoa. That's on leadership. And that's not just on Doug. I mean, that's... any part, like, you know, I'm looking at offensive coordinator, I'm looking at the running backs coach, I'm looking at the D-backs, you know, every coach, that's on all of them to make these guys accountable. You cannot give up those kind of numbers from a penalty standpoint.
You know, I got to tell you, we started out not blaming Doug. The more that you and I have talked over the last 2 hours,
I know.
I'm getting more and more close to blaming Doug.
Yeah. And that's not just today. 10 of the 78 are today.
Right. I mean, they have 2 games of 9, a game of 8, 2 games of 7, a game of 3 games of 7.
What's their best when they
actually only had 2 last week against Seattle. 2 for 15 yards.
In a low scoring game.
They only scored 9 points.
Yeah. All right, Tyler, thanks for the company.
Thank you for letting me hang out with you. It was a lot of fun. Thanks so much.
Awesome. And I want those of you holding, please stay tight because I need the good conversation from you guys as well. So we got Daryl, you're up next on the other side. Donald, Mike, Maurice, and Don. I'll get to all of you on the other side. We'll continue talking about the Eagles and how could they have avoided this 37-31 loss and not be sitting here at 5-7 on this Sunday, December 1st. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.